Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of The Cinephiles. I'm Dan.
And I'm Alex.
And this is going to be... Join us. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. That'll bring you directly into the studio with us, or you can hit us on our live stream on Behind the Screen Radio Show's Facebook page. Head on over there, give us a like and a follow. Also, head on over to WikiCuriosity Media's Facebook page, give them a like and a follow. On the page, you can hit up our website, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com. .com/WC Media. There's a whole bunch of stuff on our website. You can also click on the link on all of our Facebook pages. You can access all of our archived shows on blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosity and on iTunes at WikiCuriosity Media. You can also check out some of our videos and our uploads on YouTube at WikiCuriosity Media. So, it's Wednesday.
Yes, it is.
And I'm having all kinds of electronic difficulties tonight. My phone decided that it wanted to update 2 minutes before the show, and I am trying to pull up the live feed on here so that I can watch it and check out the videos, but it's not working. So, it is not letting me look at any of, and now it wants to do whatever it wants to do. So, there we go. That's better. Okay, now I'm up and running. Kinda. Just waiting on my phone to fix. So, anyway. Anything interesting going on this week?
Well, something we didn't talk about last week. Or... at all through on text, which was strange. Last Friday was Batman Day.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We did not talk about that at all. Like, period.
No.
And they've had this whole big thing on HBO Max about Batman Day, and I've been on HBO, I've been on the streaming service a couple times this week.
I bet that's the only thing I've been on this week, to be honest. I've been watching all the DC animated movies.
I've got my typical Big Bang Theory that I watch when I'm just not doing anything. And then last week I watched the show Walker, and this week I started Superman and Lois. So I've been on that app quite a bit this week, and I'm surprised that you and I haven't talked about it either through text or didn't mention it on the air yesterday or last week.
Yeah, it was just, it kind of came and went. I didn't see any posts about it. That's something I noticed this year. I have not seen a single post about all these little things, well, little, big and little things. Yeah, it's just weird. Like, nobody was posting about Batman Day. No, there was another one recently that nobody was posting about, so I just, it kind of went over my head. Oh. Nah, so this year, this is way off topic, but it just came to my mind. I was laying in my bed, and it was about midnight, and I saw 11th on my thing. This is like 2 weeks ago, and it just came back into my mind. I was like, oh, that seems like it should be familiar. And then I looked at my calendar, September 11th. It's kind of a major day for us Americans.
And, it's a huge day.
And I was waiting that whole day for people to post something. Everybody posts something about it. I saw maybe 3 posts that day about it. I thought that was weird. Everybody else disagreed with me. They thought it was everywhere. But I only saw 3 of it on all my stuff. But this year, it just seems like people aren't really posting or caring about nothing.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, politics behind everything that's going on here lately.
Well, yeah, but Batman Day? Nobody's going to post about Batman Day?
Yeah, I know that's strange. That's pretty weird.
Like, even my, like, comic book people that I follow on, like, Instagram and stuff, I only saw a few of those.
Huh.
Even then, I was like, why is this a common theme for today is Batman? And then I looked and I was like, oh, today is National Batman Day.
So, other than just celebrating Batman, why was Batman Day on September 18th?
17th.
Oh, everything I'm seeing says 18th.
I thought it was the 17th, because the 17th was Friday, right?
17th was Friday, yeah. But, like, everything that I'm seeing on here says that it was the 18th.
Oh, well, then I was wrong. It's the 18th.
That's
just what I said, 18.
Yeah.
I have no idea why it's the 18th. Is it when he was made? Or is that when of his comics was made?
What I'm saying here is that it's the every year on the third Saturday in September, they, you know, that's Batman Day.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
It's weird. It's like a Thanksgiving situation, where it's like every...
Yeah.
You know, that always was weird to me, why Thanksgiving is like that. But anyway, it was Batman Day. We didn't talk about it. Strange occurrence. Glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah.
We did talk DC this week, though. Quite a lot.
You and I did, yeah. I actually got a brand new Lego set this week, which, honestly, I want to say was, I think it's my first DC Lego set.
No, I mean, the only Lego sets I get are Star Wars, so I ain't got no DC Lego sets. I do have DC figures, though, which I'm trying to collect more of. But yeah, that's a really cool set you got. It was like the 60s Batman, Adam West Batman, Batmobile.
Yes. Yeah, it's that. And then it is, it's got the Batman, it's got Batman, and then it has the Cesar Romero Joker. Hold on, let me mute this real quick. Oh, come on. There we go. Okay.
Technical difficulties are whooping your ass today, huh?
I mean, I'm trying to get the live up on the computer so that I can see anybody because I missed, you know, comments last week. And then, you know, trying to get you up on the video feed so that we can, you know, interact better. And, you know, phone decided that it wanted to update and then it wanted to update again and then asking me 10 million questions during the update. And I'm just like, just fucking update and give me my phone.
Oh, man.
God, being old sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, me and my friends realized that the other day. I was like, guys, I don't know if it's I'm getting older, technology's getting too complicated, but I can't keep up anymore. Like, I got a new phone recently. They're like, well, yeah, this is all the stuff it can do now. I was like, okay, can you have it to where it was like my old phone? Well, of course we can, but these new features. I don't care about the new features. I want to know how it was before. So they were like, okay. I was like, thank you. I appreciate the three cameras. Bye. Like, I just wasn't, I don't want no special, you know, widget, you know, you can edit your home screen and stuff. I'm never on my home screen. Why would I care?
Yeah.
I'm always on an app. I just want it to be bigger, you know. I got bigger phone, and I got better camera. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to update eventually. But, I mean, really the only thing that I use it for, I mean, I use it for a bunch of things, you know, I use it for social media, I use it for, you know, texting and calling and internet and stuff like that. But all this fancy, you know, shit that you can do with your phone, editing videos and making movies and stuff like that, like, I do like doing that.
Whether it be a funny meme that I've made or stop motion or whatever, it's very convenient. Do I wish I was on a computer? Yes, I do. 1,000%. But I like what I have. What I have is awesome.
Right. Well, that's something that you do on a regular basis. That's not something I do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got a TikTok account. I don't make TikToks. You know,
I don't even have TikTok. That's how far behind I am. I just can't get into that.
I do it because I like to watch the funny stuff. You know, I mean, every once in a while I'll get one of those political things that come across my TikTok and I'll just like scroll up. I don't want to listen to it. I'm here for the funny shit.
Yeah, there are some funny ones I get sent sometimes. Still not going to download the app though. At this point, it's like how long can I go without downloading it? You know, because I'm like the only one out of everybody I know that don't have it. So I'm going to keep it going, see how long I can go without having it.
I can see that. I lost the...
Yeah, it's buffering on mine.
Yeah, for some reason it just said fuck you on mine.
Hmm.
I don't know what's going on with this.
I don't know. In other news, it is supposed to be no higher than 50 degrees for the rest of the week up here, so I'm in sweatshirt and pants for the rest of the year.
Nice. We got some rain last night.
You gotta mute your thing again. Again with the technical difficulties, ladies and gentlemen.
It's technical difficulty. The thing is, it's not
Law Talk
this time. It's my fucking phone.
Oh, man. Yeah, I took this, like, color quiz thing. It was, like, your personality or whatever. And it said, if the world had to end, how do you think it would end? There was a couple options. I said, nuclear disaster or whatever. One of the options was androids and technology taking over. Thinking that's a little bit more plausible.
I mean, we are getting close to creating AI, so what the hell?
I'm going off the grid.
I'm just going to restart my phone again. Because I don't know why it keeps kicking me out of there.
I don't know. Anyway, so we were talking DC this week.
Yep.
And
DC and Marvel.
A topic that had arose. I was just curious. Because, you know, we have our DC and Marvel debates all the time.
We do.
And I believe we were talking about Titans. We were talking about a show.
Okay.
And something popped into my mind. Oh, no, it was a post I saw of Justice League versus Avengers. And all the matchups I was seeing was ridiculous. Or it wasn't ridiculous, it was just weird. So I proposed the question to you. The original six Avengers versus the original six Justice League members. Now, these members, they are by far, they are far from the original six. Six is just the number that was chosen. And we have most of the originals in there. So there was Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Black Widow, Hawkeye, Hulk. And then for Justice League, there was Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Arrow, and Green Lantern. And I didn't ask who would win in the fight. I asked who would fight who, you know, because they're most likely going to take on one-on-one and, you know, fight that way. And we had very different answers.
We did. We did. And I wanted to go over those. There we go.
Yeah.
See if this works.
So do you want to go with yours first or mine?
I want to go with yours first. So you picked Superman versus Thor.
Yeah, I got to look back at the thing. I didn't write it down.
Okay.
Yeah, so Superman versus Thor, Batman versus Iron Man, Green Lantern versus Hulk, Flash versus Black Widow, and Green Arrow versus Hawkeye.
Right.
And then Wonder Woman versus Cap.
Right. So you and I had two of the same. We both had Green Arrow versus Hawkeye and Batman versus Iron Man. But I wanted to, so I wanted to know why you matched yours up the way you did.
Okay. So I did Green Lantern versus Hulk because while they're not the most powerful members of each team, I feel like they're like the second tier, second or third most powerful, so naturally I feel like Green Lantern could handle himself against Hulk as he does against Atrocitus, who is of similar build, just with the, you know, Red Lantern ring. That and Green and Hal Jordan fights these kind of creatures and unknown monsters all the time, so I feel like he could handle himself pretty well against Hulk. And not to bash on Hulk or anything, but I think Green Lantern could win. Because, you know, the ring has no limitations to what you can do. It's the person. And Hal Jordan is a very – I went with Hal Jordan, at least, for my Green Lantern. I don't know which one you went for.
I went with Hal Jordan, yeah.
I feel like he's a very creative guy, and he can find interesting ways to take down the Hulk. So that's why I chose that.
Okay. Continue, sorry.
I don't know, I was just going to go with the next one. Were you going to say anything?
Oh, I was going to ask Superman versus Thor, because you kind of skipped over that one.
They're both powerhouses. You know, they're both, I think they're both strongest of each of their team. Originally, I had Wonder Woman versus Thor, but I felt like Wonder Woman would have got destroyed by Thor. No offense to the Wonder Woman fans, but to be honest.
Okay.
So I feel like they're the two strongest, and, you know, boom, unstoppable force meets immovable object. Although Superman's more powerful, because, you know, nobody can beat Superman besides maybe Goku. But yeah, that's why I went with that.
Okay.
And I was thinking more of, Infinity War level Thor. You know, he's got Stormbreaker. He's powerful and all, but comics-wise, it would be like King Thor. He's like very, very strong and powerful and crazy. Okay. But yeah, that's why I went with that.
Okay.
So you chose Flash versus Thor.
I did.
Now, technically, Flash should be the strongest. Because if you take what he can do and apply it to different things, then, you know, if he can run a million times the speed of light that and he punches something, just think of how devastating that punch is going to be. You know, I don't even think Superman
yeah.
would be able to survive that.
Right.
But since Flash is nerfed, then, yeah. So you said Flash versus Thor.
Yeah, so I put Flash up against Thor because, in a normal fight, Flash, you know, uses the speed force, goes fast, and basically distracts his opponents. I almost I had a little bit of trouble with these because, all of the Justice League, except for Green Arrow, are what they consider metahumans, and except for, well, Batman too. But with the Avengers, you have three that are pretty much normal versus two that are normal. But I did Flash versus Thor because I think Thor would stand the best chance out of all of them at defeating Flash because of his mastery of like lightning and stuff like that. And yes, while Flash can run fast, he can only run faster than the speed of light in extreme circumstances. That's not his typical speed.
It depends on the Flash. Well,
yeah.
I believe Barry Allen went the fastest. Wally West is the most consistent with his speed. And his speed was very quick. I don't know the exact numbers, but he was pretty fast.
Right.
It was like
Mach
267 or something, which is made-up number, but or not really made-up number, but anyway.
Yeah, but if you go with Barry Allen and you go with, you know, just how Barry Allen would be, I think Thor would stand the best chance out of all of the Avengers, except for maybe Iron Man, at defeating Flash.
Yes, I can see that.
So, because, I mean, Thor, he's, in our eyes, he's a god. You know, he's a Norse god. He has command of thunder and lightning. And I feel that he would use the power of thunder, you know, when slams either Stormbreaker or his hammer, whichever one he's using, into the ground, knocks the Flash, you know, off of his feet, and then just blast him with lightning and then he's done.
Yeah. The only problem I see with that is Flash is not only fast, but he has fast reaction. So I feel like he might be able to see that coming. Because while Thor is very powerful, I don't see him as being the smartest guy in the world. I mean, we've seen that throughout comics and movies and stuff.
Right.
He's the smartest guy. He's just kind of really powerful. Barry Allen is a very powerful guy, and he's also pretty smart. So, I don't know. I could see that. I feel like that'd be a pretty good matchup.
Yeah. So you had Flash versus Black Widow.
Yeah, that was kind of like leftovers scenario.
Okay.
Like the rest of them made sense to me, and then Flash versus Black Widow were the only two left. And
And see, I'm on the thinking that you are with Thor. I think Flash would just decimate her.
Yeah, she doesn't have any superpowers or nothing. And she's not, like, she's battle smart and a spy and whatnot, but she's not on the level of Batman. You know, she can shoot a gun really well. She's good in hand-to-hand combat, but she can't see a fist coming at 400,000 miles per hour.
Right. Right. And I think Thor would be able to take the punch a lot better than she would.
Yeah.
So. But, I mean, I could see it as... I could see, depending on who's doing the writing, Black Widow...
If I wanted Black Widow to win, I would have pitted her up against Green Arrow. I feel like she could have had a good chance against him. But then that would just be Flash against Hawkeye, and that'll be the same scenario.
Well, Hawkeye kind of has dealings with a speedster. You know, I mean, he took on Quicksilver. He got his ass kicked, but he took on Quicksilver. And I feel like that experience might help him in a fight against Flash.
Yeah, the MCU Quicksilver is also significantly slower than a comic book Flash or even Ezra Miller Flash.
I agree.
He's still fast, though. Still good.
Yeah.
Sorry, if you can't see a minigun spooling up and then shooting you while you're a speedster, you're just not a very good speedster.
But
that's besides the point.
Right. So Quicksilver's speed is based on just him being able to move fast. It's based on, like, strength and muscle and stuff like that, whereas Barry Allen's, he's able to tap into what he calls the speed force, and that's how he's able to move quick.
Yeah. Which makes him very OP in certain situations.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah. Now, I'm curious of one of yours.
Okay.
Well, kind of two of them. You did Captain America versus Green Lantern. I feel like that would be kind of an easy fight for Green Lantern. No offense to Captain America, but it just takes Green Lantern to put him in a bubble and throw him in space.
Right. Okay, so...
Was that a leftover scenario?
Yeah, pretty much a leftover scenario. Before I get to that, we do have a message from our producer that says Ezra Miller's Flash would get his ass kicked by Black Widow or Hawkeye from the MCU.
I'm not sure about that. I think that's wrong. No.
It depends on at what point, you know, in... Because that's...
But we're taking two agents that are not even near superhuman level of, you know, reflexes and capability. Two people, one's good with a bow and one's good with a gun, versus a guy that can move so fast he can run back in time.
Right, but
he's
Ezra
a race
Miller's
Superman.
Right, but if you remember, Ezra Miller's Flash was just coming into his powers, pretty much. And
he was still fast, though.
Right, but he messed up a lot, especially in the silo. Like, he tripped, literally tripped.
I mean, yeah, that's a, like, not situational, but environmental thing. I feel like a lot of these depend on where they're fighting, but he's a literal speedster.
Right.
Versus two people, and one of them's using a bow and arrow. I mean, you can make the same joke about Green Arrow, but he's bringing a bow and arrow to fight a speedster.
And I get that. I do.
And I think tripping over something that is a little bit easier to miss while he's also trying to tip a sword back to Wonder Woman, who is falling through the air while being chased by Steppenwolf, compared to Quicksilver, literally just standing there and waiting to be shot, I think one of those is worse than the other. And Hawkeye got his ass kicked by Quicksilver, like, three times in that.
I just think the producer has a little bit of
He had it out for Quicksilver. You know, the same guy who made that movie made the Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon's got something against speedsters. I'm getting real tired of it.
So back to Captain America versus Green Lantern. It is kind of a leftover thing. But I think Captain America, I think he might hold his own. I get that all Green Lantern would have to do is put him in a bubble and throw him up into space and then release the bubble. But I don't see... I don't see Green Lantern being that ruthless. You know what I mean?
Well, no. He can do what he's always done with, you know, like criminals and stuff and just conjure a cage around them. And Captain America can't break out of that. Not even Superman can really break out of Green Lantern's bubbles and cages.
Right. I think Captain America would try. Because Green Lantern's power is based on his will. And I think that Captain America, while he is strong, he's also smart, and I think that he would break his will enough that he could break out. Like, I think he would talk to
How would he break his will, though? Because the only way, not the only way, but the weakness of Green Lantern is fear. And Captain America, I don't know about you, but he's not very scary or threatening. You know,
I mean, when he's holding Thor's hammer, he is.
Yeah. How's he going to get the hammer if there's just bubble around him? Which, to be fair, Mjolnir doesn't stop at anything to get to the person, but...
This is true.
If Mjolnir is out of Thor's hand, then what's Thor going to do against Flash?
Thor does not need Mjolnir. We saw that in Ragnarok.
Yeah, but... he got
kind of, but not really.
Yeah, he couldn't defeat Hela either way. He had to destroy all of Ragnarok to do that. And even then, he couldn't fight Thanos without it.
True. But
Thor needs a weapon of some kind.
He
if
does
he's wanting
to
be at his full potential.
Channel. But I think that he would... I think it would be like a back and forth, kind of like what they did with Thanos in Endgame.
Yeah.
So either that, or Thor has Stormbreaker and Captain America has Mjolnir. So the producer says we would get an action shot of Green Lantern. With shaking hands, Captain America whips his hand in the air and steals the ring. With such strong willpower, the battle is won. Yeah. Captain America would steal the ring.
How would he steal the ring? No, there's only one person in history that has ever stolen the ring off of Green Lantern, and that was Batman.
Shaking his hand.
You can't take it off. He has to lose concentration. To take the ring off.
If he's beating it with Mjolnir, come on now.
That's not losing concentration, that's losing consciousness.
Well.
And the ring will not come off of a dead body. Well, it won't come off of an unconscious body.
All he would have to do is hit him once and he loses just enough concentration to where he takes it.
No, that's reaching. That's reaching if I've ever seen it. You can't take the ring off unless he's dead or unless he loses concentration.
Well, then he destroys the ring.
You can't do that either. His rings are practically indestructible. And apparently Uru is too until, you know, Hela smashes it in front of Thor's face.
Right. Now, I want to know about your Wonder Woman versus Captain America.
You see how I sent it separately? I completely forgot about those two. I was going back. I was like, that's only five. Who am I missing? And I was like, oh, Wonder Woman versus Cap. That makes sense. You know, because they're kind of similar in their abilities, except Wonder Woman is an Amazonian who has super strength. the mind of Athena and Lasso of Truth. She also has a shield and a sword.
Right.
She has the tiara and the bracers. She's got it all. I think she takes that one.
Yeah, maybe. See, I put Black Widow up against Wonder Woman. Not because of a sexist thing, but...
That would be a very fast fight, I'm just saying.
I don't know. Black Widow's kind of... The thing
I don't know.
Is...
I think Wonder Woman dashes to her and just punches her in the face and she's basically dead. I think she would turn... I am so confused on... You said it yourself. Half these people on the Marvel side don't have powers, yet they're kicking
right.
at people with indestructible powers ass. I don't know how that works. That doesn't add up. If you think about it, Wonder Woman is basically a female Superman minus, you know, laser vision and some other things.
Right.
She would absolutely destroy Black Widow. It wouldn't even be like a 3-second fight. She would just dash and boom, Black Widow's in a vegetative state for the rest of her life. That's how it would end.
The thing is Black Widow couldn't go up against any of them. Black Widow might be able to go up against Batman for, you know, she might last a minute or two before Batman kicks her ass. But the thing is Black Widow can't go up against any of them and win.
Exactly. That's why the Justice League is better.
Now, you did that, Superman versus Thor. I did Hulk versus Superman.
Yeah.
Because...
That one makes sense too. You could kind of switch those out.
Right. Now, you said that you did Thor versus Superman because Thor is, you said, most powerful in that group.
Yeah.
I have to disagree.
Why is Hulk the most powerful?
Because...
I would love to hear this.
Okay.
I got one tiny argument that will destroy your whole thing.
Okay. So... We've seen in, and I'm going off of comic books here.
Okay.
Hulk's power is limitless. Like, the angrier he gets, the more powerful he gets. We've seen it in comics. We've seen it in, you know, we've seen it in some movies and stuff like that. Iron Man had a tough time beating the Hulk with the Hulkbuster armor. And that's what it was designed for. It was designed by Bruce Banner and Tony Stark to defeat the Hulk, and it did not. Because the angrier the Hulk got, the more powerful he becomes. And I think that while I don't know if there would be a winner, in my mind, that is the ultimate immovable object, unstoppable force. Right there. Because
okay.
Thor can be killed. Thor can be killed. The Hulk, the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets, the more indestructible he becomes. That's why I put Superman up against the Hulk.
Okay. So, Hulk is unpredictable and unstable. He doesn't always come out. We saw that in Infinity War and Ragnarok. He doesn't always come out. When he does, he is unpredictable. He fights whoever he wants. He could even, I know he hasn't, but he could even turn on the Avengers. If we're going off comics, there was a battle between Hulk, and I think it was either Hulk versus Dr. Doom or Hulk versus Thor. But either way, they fought in the center of the Earth for like 100 years or 1,000 years, and Hulk lost. Now, Hulk is not the strongest. Physically, he's not the strongest. He did pull the Earth back together. I get it. But, I mean, Thor lifted Jormungandr, which has limitless, you know, it can grow to any size.
Right.
And he's able to lift it. It can shapeshift and all that. It's Loki's snake, which is said to be heavier than 10 Earths. It's heavy as shit. Hulk still lifted, or Thor still lifted it. Thor does have more weaknesses than Hulk, but I see Hulk as like a nuclear bomb. You know, he gets more powerful and more powerful and more powerful until he finally explodes. And when he does, he makes everything around him useless. You know?
Okay.
Superman, on the other hand, he has one single weakness, and that is...
He said it's his son, not his pet.
Yeah, it's almost the same difference. But... I got sidetracked. Superman's only weakness is Red Sun, which only weakens him. It doesn't kill him. And Kryptonite. Unless Iron Man can get the only source of kryptonite, which is on Batman's belt, which is in a lead box that only he can get to, and nobody's pickpocketing Batman, I'm sorry, unless he kills Batman and takes the belt off, which is impossible because, well, it's not impossible, but it's really hard because Batman has countermeasures to prevent that sort of thing. Superman can just get stronger and stronger and stronger. He doesn't really have a limit. The sun is his power. It makes him more powerful. It doesn't give him his power. It makes him more powerful. Again, situational. Superman cannot be beaten. This has been a talk amongst geeks and nerds for centuries. Superman cannot be beaten unless it's Goku, because, you know, Goku's powerful for some reason. I don't understand that argument.
But
I don't know,
didn't
Goku.
Superman die?
Superman did die. By the hand of kryptonite.
Right. So he's not indestructible. It's the same thing with the Hulk.
He's more indestructible than the Hulk is.
Right.
Superman's weakness is the Red Sun, which doesn't exist on Earth, if they're fighting on Earth, which that was my assumption.
Right.
Or kryptonite, which some of the only source in the world is on Batman's belt, or on Krypton, which... guess what? Is destroyed.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know.
I got Superman in that fight.
I mean, I wasn't, like, you know, like we said, we weren't going up against, you know, who would win. It was,
yeah.
You know, who would fight who. And I think that Hulk would immediately go for the most powerful person there. That's
yeah.
My opinion. You know. So.
If we want to be real technical, Batman has beat them all, so.
Well, yeah, and Iron Man has pretty much beat all of the other ones, too.
Hulk versus Batman.
Oh, Hulk would break his back. Hulk would tie him into a fucking pretzel.
If he can catch him, Batman would just fight him how he fights the other super big people that he fights on a weekly basis. Bane,
right.
Clayface. There's another guy, I forgot his name.
Right, but Bane has kicked Superman's ass. Clayface has kicked Superman's ass.
Superman or Batman?
Batman, I'm sorry.
Bane's only done it once, and Batman learned that lesson. And Clayface, I don't remember when he did it, but I'm sure it's happened. They always have some villain that beats Batman somehow.
Right. But I think
Batman learned from his mistakes.
If Hulk was to get... The thing about Hulk is that, you know, while he is a raging creature, he's not stupid. You know, I mean, he does have a little bit of intelligence, and I think that he would... So the producer said Batman isn't wrestling him. Batman wins.
Yeah, it's not like they're
really
in
like
a
Batman.
Ring. Batman can literally just do anything because he's Batman, which is OP as hell, but I didn't write Batman. I just
right.
like him.
But Batman's limitations are his...
Not having powers.
He is great at martial arts. And
which
he has gadgets.
Around. Yeah.
The thing is once... Because Batman would not have a gadget to take down the Hulk. I'm sorry. And once he runs out of gadgets, he has no other choice but to go You know, but
that's false.
You know,
he does have a gadget to take down the Hulk. He has a gadget to take down anybody. He has the Hellbat armor, which he used to defeat Darkseid. He literally kicked Darkseid's ass and took Damian back and put him in the Lazarus pit.
Okay, do you think that he would come with his armor?
It takes two seconds.
And we've seen that the Hulk has just literally destroyed the Hulkbuster armor, which was meant to take him down.
Okay, the Hellbat armor is nothing compared to the Hulkbuster. Do you know what the Hellbat armor is? It was literally each member of the Justice League made and forged something out of it to literally destroy Darkseid, who, in my opinion, is one of the most deadly and most powerful villains in comic book history. And they made it so Batman could totally kick his ass. The Hellbat armor is above Hulk's level. Hellbat armor is Hulk. That's what it is. Hellbat armor, there's nothing beating Hellbat armor.
I don't know.
There's nothing. That's not a debate that can be won. There's nothing. I don't write the Hellbat armor. I just interpret it. Hellbat armor is crazy.
Okay, we have to talk about our last one, Green Arrow versus Hawkeye. Because both of us picked that one.
So basically, they both use bows, and Green Arrow is just cooler, but Hawkeye is also cool. Oh, both of them are underappreciated.
Very much so.
I think Hawkeye might have this one. I feel like he's a little bit more adept with the bow. But Green Arrow is like Batman. He's got many gadgets in his quiver.
Right. I think so. Green Arrow is basically Batman with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Hawkeye, the reason why I would say Hawkeye would take it is because Hawkeye would allow Green Arrow to use up pretty much all of his arrows and his quiver.
I don't even think it would come to that. I think it comes down to a little training and, like, skill. Because Green Arrow trained by the same people that trained Batman, blah, 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 whatever. Green Arrow doesn't have the smarts that Batman does. He doesn't have the intellect, doesn't have detective know-how. He comes prepared, but he doesn't come prepared for everything.
Right.
Hawkeye, on the other hand, he's a super secret agent for the most secret society in the world. He's been trained, I'm assuming, since he was a very young age. He's very skilled with the bow, so much so that he would choose it over a gun, which is kind of silly. He has, I wouldn't say more, but I feel like his gadgets are a little bit more useful. I don't think a boxing glove taped to the end of an arrow is very helpful.
Oh, it's good to bring that one up.
but, I mean, Green Arrow does have other arrows, but I just see Hawkeye's tech is more advanced, too, than Green Arrow.
Hawkeye's tech is more advanced, and Hawkeye, I think Hawkeye would take it in a physical combat, because even though Green Arrow was trained by the same organization that trained Batman.
It wasn't as long, and he's not as disciplined.
Right, he doesn't have full mastery of it. Whereas when Hawkeye turned into Ronin, I mean, he literally took on gangs all over the world. He wiped out the Yakuza.
Yeah, and I mean, there's nothing. Yeah, this is one that I will succumb to. Of the Marvel side winning.
And we're not going to discuss Iron Man versus Batman. You and I have discussed that. That would take up the rest of our show, and we still have more topics to talk about on tonight's show.
Yes.
So we're not going to discuss Batman versus Iron Man because, honestly, that could go either way. We both know that. Depending on what Batman has on him, depending on what armor Iron Man is using, they're both ultra brilliant. The one thing I will say Batman has over Iron Man is that Bruce Wayne is more disciplined than Tony Stark is.
They're both smart as hell, but their smarts are different. I feel like Tony Stark is a bit more book smart and, like, mechanical smart, while Batman's more combat-oriented. So they're just different.
The thing is Bruce Wayne can kick ass without the Batman suit. Tony Stark could not. Tony Stark does not have any formal hand-to-hand combat training.
He's nothing without the suit. But if you take the suit off of Batman, it's literally just a guy in a suit and tie kicking your ass, which is pretty embarrassing. So
pretty much. And that would be if they were able to, like, you know, out of their suits, Batman would win. In their suits, I think Iron Man would win. But that's my opinion.
It just takes an EMP. That's all I'll say.
Well.
But anyway, I'm going to say Iron Man doesn't have a day dedicated to him. Batman does. So he's clearly the better superhero. Anyway.
Okay. We do have to take a break because we haven't taken one yet. And when we come back,
we're already an hour into the show. That went on a little bit longer than I expected.
Well, that's okay, though. That went on exactly as long as I expected it to.
It could go longer. It probably will after the show.
Probably. It'll continue on over text. We'll be right back.
Behind the screen, we'll be right back.
Dripping down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave. These will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you love me, you would hold me. If you love me, you would tell me. You never want me to be alone. If you cared at all, you would stop and never go. But you just turned your back to me and said, guess what?
Welcome back to Behind the Screen Radio Show.
And we are back. If you missed the first hour, I mean, shame on you. So tonight's show is talking about Marvel versus DC in many
facets. I thought
there
could be more to that. I'm sorry. If you missed the first hour of the show, shame on you. I thought you were going to, like, explain it or, like, do a briefing on it. Nope, shame on you. You don't get to know. You got to go back and watch it.
Pretty much, yeah. Tonight's episode is talking Marvel versus DC in different facets. We've discussed Marvel over the years that was on the air, and you know, that Alex and I have really been into the DC and Marvel universes. There have been many, many, many discussions about Marvel and DC. We've talked technical aspects, we've talked live-action movies, we've talked animated, we've talked, we just did a whole segment on the six original Avengers versus the six original Justice League members. But tonight we're actually talking about live-action TV shows, which is something that we haven't talked about on this show before. And it's not really something that Alex and I have.
We brought it up on this show, I believe, maybe once, when we talked about Titans.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think we actually dove into it.
We really haven't. And
it's Batman Day. Or it was Batman Day, so this is the theme of the show.
Yeah. And you and I really haven't talked about it. Either in person or over text. So we decided to talk about it tonight.
Yep.
So live action, when it comes to live action anything, I'm just going to go ahead and say this, that Marvel has the lock on it. When it comes to live action, Marvel has the lock. Overall, in general, anything live action, TV shows, movies, Marvel has the lock. Marvel knows what the fuck they're doing. And I think that's DC's biggest problem right now. I think that's Warner Brothers' biggest problem, is that they cannot get a handle on their universes. And that's a problem.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it comes down to that. I just think they get – Warner Bros. Just gets cold feet with everything, and then they freak out. And then they're like, well, we have to do this to make people happy, and then we have to do this, and then we have to completely screw over our directors and, you know, stuff like that. And they just get cold feet, opposed to Marvel. They have a guy who makes all the decisions, Kevin Feige.
Yep.
It's one person. Does it all. Warner Bros., who the hell does theirs? Nobody knows. I don't. I'm sure they have a guy. I'm sure he gets walked over all the time. But there's just not somebody who can organize it. I don't think there's a problem with the content that Warner Bros. Is putting out, like the movies. I don't think there's a problem with them. They just need to organize them better and, like,
right,
establish something a little bit more concrete than just a little cutscene at the end. You know, because that's all Marvel did, and that worked for them. But when you have so many different things going on in a universe, and people don't understand the difference between this DC property versus this DC property, and then you got another one over there, they just need to organize it and, like, wrap it up, you know. I think that's what Marvel was doing. They sold out all their properties because Marvel went bankrupt, like in the 90s, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And they sold all their film rights to, like, Sony, Fox, and they sold all their rights to Sony, Fox, and Disney.
Yeah.
I think DC ran into the same problem, but they didn't sell their movie rights or nothing because they were under Warner Bros., and Warner Bros., you know, didn't go bankrupt. So they had that financial side, but they were just like, well, Marvel did it, so now we have to sell out to every Tim, Joe, and Tim out there And I said 10 twice. Get over it. But they just let all their properties out, let all these people do different properties, and now they can't get a hold of it, you know.
So the thing is that DC hasn't sold their properties. DC, or Warner Brothers, has DC. Nobody else has DC. Because CW is CBS and Warner Brothers. It is a partnered network. The biggest problem that I see with Warner Brothers, and the biggest problem that I see with the DC Universe, is that there's so many branches to the DC Universe. Like you have, so you have the animated universe, which some
killing
properties, it is. They're fantastic, but they don't all link together.
So, popular misconception of DC is that they have a lot of movies and they don't connect, which is kind of false. Marvel did the same exact thing. That's why I think it's unfair to compare Marvel and DC. The Zack Snyder universe is the first time DC has ever tried a universe. It's the first time any DC tried to connect a universe like that.
Well, I have to tell
Dark Knight, the Green Lantern, those are all...
Are you talking about cinematic universes or universes in general? Because the CW
cinematic
universe... Okay.
Yeah, like, this is the first time DC has tried an MCU, basically, like a cinematic universe.
Okay.
It's their first time. Have you... You know, Marvel tried it before, back in the early 2000s. They were going to connect the X-Men and the Spider-Man series. That fell through. They were going to do it again with Fantastic Four and, I believe, another Spider-Man thing. That fell through. People look at Marvel and think that Marvel hasn't had any hiccups, when I would argue Marvel has had more hiccups than DC has. It's just Marvel has been able to establish one concrete thing, and that one concrete thing is pretty damn good. You know, while DC has many good things, they don't have that. Their one big thing was the thing that flopped, which, you know.
That's Warner Brothers' fault. That has nothing to do with, because the Zack Snyder trilogy.
The whole DCEU, those movies are good by themselves, but when they, that's the thing that confuses me, is how can all these movies be good by themselves, but for some reason people think the whole universe is bad? I don't think the DCEU is bad. It's just not on par with, you know, the billions of dollars of Disney. You know, I don't think anything can compete with Disney anymore.
Well,
and it's weird.
Is,
am I not wrong, though? I just realized that, is how can people think all these movies are good, but for some reason, when they combine it into a universe, it's bad? Like Aquaman, general consensus that was good. Shazam, general consensus that was good. Zack Snyder Justice League, good. Batman vs. Superman, people are warming up to it. Like, all these movies are good, with the exception of, like, Wonder Woman 1984.
And Wonder Woman.
Yeah. These movies are good, but they're not good in a universe.
So the
like, they all connect.
The problem that I'm seeing is that when DC brought their DC Cinematic Universe, when they brought Ben Affleck Batman, they introduced him in Suicide Squad, the first one, because that's part of that universe. And I think the other one
Ben Affleck's first appearance was in Batman vs. Superman.
I thought Suicide Squad came out before Batman vs. Superman.
No, because it was Man of Steel, BVS, Suicide Squad, then Justice League. They came out the same year, though.
Okay. But, so that universe, it's kind of jumbled. And that is the problem. Is that
What's jumbled about it, though?
So you have all of these, okay, so what this is the brilliant thing that Marvel did, is that they brought all of these quote-unquote origin stories out and then brought them all together. Because you had Phase 1, which was Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man 2, and then Avengers.
Yeah.
And then you brought everybody together in Avengers. And then you continued the story on with Thor, Dark World, and Civil War, and Age of Ultron, and I know I'm going out of order here. And they had different phases, and they had a timeline, and they had a plan, and that was, that's Marvel's brilliance, is that they had a plan in how these movies were going to come out, when they were, how they were linked to each other, and, it tells a whole concrete storyline over 10 years, 20 different movies, from beginning to end. It's called the Infinity Saga. It's the first three phases of, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And there's a way to watch them in release order. There's a way to watch them in chronological order. And you don't get confused how you watch them. With DC, when they came out with Justice League, when they introduced Wonder Woman and Aquaman, and you're like, that's cool, we know who these people are, but then you have their origin stories after the release of the collaboration, and it felt off for a lot of people, and now we have Shazam that has no follow-up to it, and I think that's a problem with Warner Brothers and DC, is that they have these movies that come out, but then we have the backstory. It's kind of like, prequel movies and stuff like that. And honestly, the only prequel movies that have ever really worked are the Star Wars prequels. Any other, movie that is set before, like any prequel that is made, it really doesn't do well. It kind of destroys. Not really destroys.
Aquaman and Shazam aren't prequels, though. They take place after Justice League.
Aquaman is kind of a prequel.
They call back to a certain point where, like, they tell us, okay, this is how Aquaman was born. But after that, the rest of the movie takes place after Justice League. Even Mira said, well, you can go fight with the Justice League and go fight with those weird people, but you can't help defend Atlantis against your brother.
Right. Okay, so the producer says that he can answer your question. He says, Marvel's movies work together and apart because they are all told by one good storyteller, while DC was told by many good storytellers, but not one good story series. Which is the roundabout, which is the direct way of what I was trying to say roundabout.
I get that, but Marvel has, not all the Marvel movies are made by one director.
No, and you're right, but so the Marvel movies have the same essence to them. The Marvel movies feel like they're being told by one storyteller. Whereas the DC movies, when you look at, he says, one guy keeps the story together, they have their guy, Kevin Feige.
I get that part, but, I'm saying Zack Snyder is basically the Kevin Feige of the DC, and they kind of threw him aside, and that's where you get your quote-unquote confusion, but I don't see how there's any confusion. If anything, it's pretty simple. Man of Steel is the origin story of Superman, and Batman versus Superman. We've had 400 million origin stories of Batman.
Yeah, I'm tired of the origin stories of
Batman. We don't need another origin story of Batman.
We don't.
Which, it kind of had origin-esque stuff in Batman vs. Superman just to establish who this Batman is. But we didn't need a whole movie of it, so we got Batman vs. Superman.
Right.
And then Suicide Squad comes out, which, that was bad. I get
it. It was a flop.
But it still fits into the, like, it doesn't do anything that's confusing in the universe. I don't see how that part would be confusing. And then Wonder Woman comes out. Wonder Woman is introduced in Batman vs. Superman, and then we get her origin in Wonder Woman. And then Justice League comes out. We're introduced to Cyborg, Flash, and Aquaman. Gets his movie. You know, the DC introduces a character and then gives them a movie kind of explaining who they are, with the exception of Shazam.
Shazam is kind of an origin story.
That's an origin story.
Right. The thing is that
I'm just saying there's no way to confuse it, really.
It's choppy.
You just watch it.
It's choppy, though. You know what I mean? The Marvel movies flow. You know what I mean? They feel like they flow, and the DC movies are kind of...
I'm not trying to bash the Marvel Universe. I like it. I don't get how you can confuse what's choppy and confusing about the DCEU, because Marvel, you got your phase one, simple as hell. Cap, Iron Man, Thor, origin stories. This is how they meet up in Avengers. And phase two comes out. Now we have, I completely forgot phase two, Iron Man 2. We get sequels to the original characters. Oh, and now we're in space again? Or now we're in space with Guardians of the Galaxy, which Guardians don't come in until another phase. We're in space for some reason with the Guardians, and then we come back to an Avengers movie, which the Guardians aren't in without a mention of the Guardians. And there was another one that came out, I believe. I could be wrong, though, in phase two. And then we go into phase three, and phase three is all over the place, and then they come together in Infinity War. Like, it's the same premise. Like, you got three people, you got their origin stories, and then you branch those out, and then you introduce something else, and you branch those out even further, and then you introduce three more things, and then you tie it together. It's like a Christmas tree. You start at the top with the three, and you come down, and then it comes together at the base. With the stump, the base, with Infinity War and Endgame, and now it's exploding out again. DCEU, it's quite literally one straight line. You got Man of Steel origin story, then you go straight to Batman vs. Superman, and then you go straight to Suicide Squad, and you go straight to Wonder Woman came out first. And then that's an origin story. That's your first origin story. Or second
right.
one, sorry. And then you go straight to Justice League. And then you get introduced to characters in Justice League. And then you go straight to those characters'
stories. I think I can answer your question. So the biggest problem that Warner Brothers has is
they don't have 23 movies, Kevin Feige and Jon Favreau. That's the only thing that I hear that DC doesn't have. Is they don't have a trillion dollar budget and a guy.
Because I'm getting there. So the problem with DC is that they have too many universes. So let's because we're going to kind of go into the heart of what tonight's show is all about, the TV series. So Warner Brothers live-action TV series. You have The Flash, you have Arrow, you have Batwoman, you have Supergirl, and now you have Superman versus Lois. Or Superman and Lois.
There's a few more, but...
Yeah.
They're forgetful and bad.
Yeah, you have one that was all about bringing people together to Hive Hop and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So the thing is you have, so you have the cinematic universe, then you have the CW universe.
Marvel has had the same problem, though. They had their MCU, and then they had their Netflix series. The only difference is their Netflix series was produced by Netflix, and they also had a $1 trillion budget, and they could get good writers.
Right. But now Marvel and Disney have their Disney Plus series are tied into the MCU. I want to you know, read what the producer wrote real quick. He did say the DC movies are a good book, but they feel like a few pages are ripped out. And he said, good storytelling doesn't require a straight line. It doesn't make it any more cohesive. One of the biggest things is, one of the biggest problems that I have with DC is that their CW universe, the entire universe is tied together. So I started watching Batwoman. I think that's the name of it.
Yeah.
A while back when it first came to HBO Max, and I started watching it, and I got a few episodes into it, and it was not great, but it was interesting. It kept my attention for a little bit, and then it started kind of bouncing off of the other two universes. Like, things were happening in this show that I had no clue about that were happening in the other show. And if I wanted to understand, I'd have to go to the other shows. And I'm currently, well, I started Superman and Lois today. I watched two episodes just to see what it was about. And honestly, I didn't realize it was a CW show until the second episode. And now that I know it's a CW show, I don't know if I want to continue it. Because I don't want, I don't want that interaction between the shows. The only good thing for the CW shows is that if you're really big into that universe, then you understand everything that's going on, and it makes it better. But in order to understand what's going on, you have to watch, Arrow, you have to watch Supergirl. Like, you have to be involved in that universe. Whereas with Marvel's, with the Disney Plus series, with WandaVision, Falcon and Winter Soldier, and Loki, you can watch those three series. You can watch them separately. You do kind of have to know what happened in Infinity War and Endgame to understand, but they are also standalone TV series. Because they kind of explain things a little bit. You know, we know, you know, they kind of explain that Vision was killed in Infinity War in WandaVision. We know that Captain America is no longer with us in Falcon and Winter Soldier. And Loki starts off with what happened in Endgame. And these three television series, you can watch them separately and independently without having to watch the movies and still pretty much understand what's going on. With the DC live action, with specifically with the CW universe, which is really the only live action that they have, well, except for Titans. But the CW universe, you have to watch Flash and Arrow. And I tried to start Flash, couldn't get into it. It's so teenage girl that it's pathetic. Arrow.
That's what the CW network is, though. Like the Disney.
But it's still Warner Brothers.
While it is still owned by Warner Brothers, the people of Warner Brothers don't control what goes on in the CW. It's like a branch division. It's like you have Nike, and then you have Jordan. That's a completely separate brand, but still owned by Nike. You get what I'm saying? CW is a totally separate entity it just gets funding from Warner Bros. Like, they have totally separate writers. The writers of these Disney Plus series is still overshadowed by one guy, Kevin Feige. He picks those people.
Right.
Back when these CW shows came out, they were just like, let's make these shows, and it'll be... They're not meant to be taken as serious as, like, an MCU movie or an MCU show. You know, these are meant for teenagers who just want some romantic aspects and comedy aspects. Like, these shows aren't for... These are superhero-themed shows, but they're basically Teen Wolf.
Right.
I get that they're DC properties and whatnot.
But
they're not meant to be a superhero show.
Well, the problem that I have is in order to understand one show, I would have to watch the other shows. That was the problem with Batwoman. That's why I stopped watching Batwoman, is because it linked directly to The Flash and Arrow, and it's okay to have crossovers, but if you're gonna make a TV show, not everybody's going to want to watch all of the properties. Not everybody's going to have the time to watch all of the properties. So if you're going to make a TV show, then you kind of have to – you have to ride that line to where it's an independent show on its own, but then it can – you know, it can cross – you can have crossovers, which is fine, but – you can't have it to where
producer does have a point, but
he does.
The negative that you're seeing in those, I watched the Arrow, Flash, whenever they were just doing Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl, I only watched Flash. And I was still able to watch their crossovers. Like, Flash seasons 1 through 4, there wasn't any other, like, yeah, it was hints like, oh, Oliver's in Star City doing his thing, blah, 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 blah. You don't have to go and watch 4 seasons of Arrow to know what Oliver's doing in Star City, you know? They call back to it. They, you know, they say, like, oh, yeah, this person... Or, like, yeah, Supergirl's on this Earth doing her thing and whatnot. Like, that's literally all that they had mentioned in Flash Season 1 through 4. And then 5 to now, I haven't watched because it kind of got stupid. But I don't see how world-building and universe-building is a negative. Like, you don't have to watch those shows in order to understand what's going on. Because I watched only Flash for like 3 years, and then they had their biggest, the Crisis on Infinite Earths event. It was the biggest thing for the CW. It was basically Infinity War for the CW. They brought everybody together, you know, worlds colliding and whatnot. I literally only watched 4 seasons of Flash and 2 seasons of Arrow, and I wasn't lost a single bit. You could see what was going on throughout the show, and you understood what was going on. The thing that I think you're running into is when they do these big crossover events, they do one episode. Like, there'll be a episode of Arrow, and that'll kind of kick it off. And then there'll be an episode of Flash where it's, like, the next episode in the thing. Like, they use the shows as one – I know the – viewers can't see me, but if you see my fingers, these are different shows.
Yeah.
You see these knuckles, this is a story right here. You don't have to watch this story, you just got to watch these separate episodes. You know, that's how the CW sets that thing up.
Right,
but,
it's just...
Yeah, those shows are bad, I get it. They are very... I feel like they're a different genre. When you look at, like, Titans, Daredevil, Punisher... WandaVision, those are superhero oriented shows. There's no doubt about it. Those are action superhero, those are superhero stories. CW is romantic comedy with The Flash. That's what it is.
Yeah. And that's...
And I hate it. I'm in agreement with you. Those are stupid.
And that's another issue that I have with DC. And, you know, the producers said, you know, before Disney Plus, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and all those, they kind of did the same thing to a point.
They definitely did.
But, yeah.
They did one crossover event, and it blew up in their face, and nobody watched it, and then they had to stop. You know how many the CW has had? They have had 7 crossover events.
The biggest difference that I can see in the DC live action versus the Marvel live action, whether you go Disney Plus or Netflix, because Netflix still has some of those properties.
They've stopped those shows, though, the Netflix shows. They're still on Netflix, though.
Right. Is that... So, the CW kind of tends to pander to a younger audience.
It does. That's the thing that I'm trying to explain, is CW isn't... While it has the badge of DC, while it has the badge of Warner Brothers... It's not what you think it is. It's not supposed to be... It's not superhero stories first. You know, it's love and funny first with
right.
those shows.
And I'm not saying that the Netflix shows...
I think there
shows...
needs to be a separation with those. Because it's totally different genres.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that the Netflix Marvel shows are good, because Iron Fist was bad. Was bad.
The only, out of all those Netflix shows, I haven't watched a single one, but from what I heard, the only good one, I watched the first season of Iron Fist, and I wanted to gouge my eyes out because it was bad.
I watched the first 3 episodes.
Daredevil and Punisher were the only two that people like.
So I haven't watched Punisher yet. I do want to watch it. I'm just really behind on a lot of things right now.
Punisher is badass.
Yeah, and him and I have discussed this before. And, you know, I have agreed to watch it. I honestly haven't had the time. I've gotten caught up in a couple other things that have got put on the back burner. I did watch Daredevil because I was interested. Because I was hoping that they would do something a lot better than what they did with the movie, which was shit.
That Daredevil movie is just a guilty pleasure for me. I know it's a terrible movie, but I can sit down and watch it. Like, I don't absolutely hate the movie. I know for a fact it's terrible, but still.
It's like My Mortal Kombat.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I know Mortal Kombat is a horrible movie, but it's a guilty pleasure. And I can agree with you, Daredevil can be a guilty pleasure. It's one of those that you have to watch every once in a while.
That's another Marvel thing that flopped. See, Marvel, that's the problem. I think that's the overall problem, not to beat a dead horse. But people only look at DC's flaws and not Marvel's. If you look at Marvel's flaws, they had the
flaws. They have so many.
They have so many. Oh, you look at DC fails. Can you name 3 DC fails that are actual fails?
Since
Zack Snyder's Superman, can you name 3 of them that were actually fails?
Suicide Squad, Marvel has had way more. Wonder Woman 84.
Suicide Squad, and Justice League.
Yes.
Okay.
All of those other Marvel movies that you say are flops, those were all way before Disney picked up Marvel and started their universe.
Yeah, what if DC just hasn't had their Disney moment yet? They're still going through their patches. Their pre-universe movies, Dark Knight, Michael Keaton Batman, there's another one that they made.
The Christopher Reeve Superman movies.
Yeah, I thought there was another one in, like, modern day.
Well, they had Superman Returns, but that was a flop.
Yeah. But all the pre-universe movies that DC has made, people are like, oh, yeah, it's great. And then as soon as they put them into a universe, it's like, oh, all these movies are trash. Don't watch a DC movie. You know?
Well, okay, so I've
I think HBO is Disney's saving grace. I think it'll be, or not Disney.
DC.
HBO will be what Disney was for Marvel for DC. It'll save
so,
it, I hope.
For the record, and then you and I have talked about this many times, I'm more of a Marvel fan than I am a DC fan. Although I do like a lot of DC movies. So I've never said don't watch a DC movie. I've said don't watch specific DC movies. And anytime a DC movie comes out, I always want to give it a chance. You know, I've learned to go into DC movies not expecting a whole lot.
What do you go to when you go into a Marvel movie?
I expect Marvel.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember I said I was leery about Black Widow, and you said, "Oh, it's Marvel; it'll be great." It's like, okay, I think we can both agree Black Widow isn't the greatest movie.
It's not. And okay, so the producer said, "I'm not saying DC is bad. I'm just saying it's not as good as Marvel yet." And he put "yet" in capital letters. He said, "Can we agree on that?" I could absolutely, 100% agree with that. DC. Their cinematic universe is getting better.
As far as cinematic universe goes, yeah. Marvel is clearly better. But that doesn't mean DC's is bad. I think everything else that DC is doing, though, is better than what Marvel's doing. I think Marvel is trying to play catch-up now because DC had, like, 20 years of animated movies.
Yeah.
And every single animated movie Marvel put out was a flop. And then all of a sudden with What If, I haven't watched it, but people say it's great.
Marvel versus DC, Marvel wins right now. Yes, it does. It does because they've had more time to establish their cinematic universe with movies and TV shows.
More time, budget, more people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's clearly going to win, but...
So the CW DC universe, it's not my taste, but I'm not saying that it's a... I was saying that it was a bad idea.
It was bad. We're just not teenage girls, and that's what it panders to.
Right. I'm a 44-year-old man. You know, when I watch DC, I expect the level of DC that I've had.
We've been getting for the past 10 years.
Well, even further than that, I mean, you look at Michael Keaton / Tim Burton Batman, that was darker and grittier. And that's what I'm expecting from a DC universe, is a dark, gritty, because that's what DC is. DC, as a whole, when you look at the whole universe, when you look at comics, you look at graphic novels, you look at cartoons, except for, you know, a couple of ones here and there, and you look at, you know, you look at all their properties, it's darker, it's grittier, it's geared more towards a little more mature audience. When you look at Marvel's always been geared towards a younger audience. The bright colors, the flashy costumes, the funny quips and quotes and stuff like that. The most successful thing that Marvel has done has been able to cater their properties to a wider audience. Properties, they cater to young kids because they have the fight sequences, they have the bright colors and the flashy costumes and the characters that you can like, you know.
Yeah.
Tony Stark is an asshole, but you can like him.
Yeah, that's the thing with Marvel and DC, though. They're different paces. Like
they are. And
to say that something is bad because it's different, I think, is kind of ignorant. I'm not saying that you have, total consensus of people out there. They see Batman branding somebody on screen and they're like, oh my God, that's terrible. No shit, it's supposed to be dark. That's what it is. It's like,
right. You're
not, when you go to watch a DC movie, you're not going to watch, you know, watch your language, I'm Captain America. You're watching, yeah, fuck you, I'm going to punch you in the face with these brass knuckles and throw you off a building. Like, that's DC. And
yeah.
It's the same thing. It's different target audience.
Right. And I think that's where, for me, my generation, I think that's where the CW shows kind of fall off, is because they don't cater to that wider audience. They cater to a specific audience. And while that may not be a bad thing, because
that's DC's problem in general, they don't cater to everybody. They cater to different people. Like the DCEU, Zack Snyderverse, they cater to the more darker, you know, fans of like that style, opposed to like, I mean, Titans is in that same category. Opposed to Marvel, they cater to everybody. Anybody can watch a Marvel movie.
Right.
Then you go and watch a DC movie, it's like, ooh, yikes.
The thing is Marvel has that formula, and they have it down pat, and it works for them. The issue with DC is they have a formula. It's right there. It's right there in front of them. The formula to cater to the broader audience is sitting right there in Shazam, period.
I think they're realizing that now, though, because now they have the Joker movie, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then they have Robert Pattinson, Batman. Those are going to be darker, more gritty. And I think they're going to try to keep their main timeline stuff. Like, they'll have their darker and gritty stuff for the darker and gritty fans. Titans, Joker, Batman. And then they'll have the Flash movie coming out. There's another movie coming out in the DCU timeline. Came out. I was thinking of Suicide Squad. That kind of caters to, like, everybody. I know Suicide Squad is gory and, you know, cuss words and stuff. But it's funny. It's James Gunn. Like,
yeah.
If you're that kind of parent, anybody can watch that movie, I'm assuming. I still haven't watched it yet, surprisingly.
You need to watch it.
DC, I like that they need to have that separation. I know it might get real confusing for people that they might have two separate universes. But if they have their universe that caters and panders, and then for some reason it'll do great because the movies will be good. But it'll be the same and people will like it. But since something will be different, people aren't going to like it. You know?
Yeah.
That's okay. It's at their pace. It's fine.
And I think that's DC's biggest problem right now, is that they have so many different universes. You know, we have a separate Joker movie. We have a separate Batman movie coming out. That's another problem with DC, is that they continuously put out Batman. Like, we get it. Batman is probably DC's most recognizable, most profitable property. But at the same time, like, I have gone through, if we don't count, animated, I've gone through 1, 2, 3, 4, and now 5, 6, 7. Different actors, variations of Batman.
Right.
I
love Batman. I don't see the problem with having a lot of Batman movies. I get why people don't like it, because it's like, oh, it's the same thing every time, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I understand. Would you rather have a Batman movie, or would you rather have 4 Birds of Prey movies? Because that's what they're doing. DC's lineup right now, if they don't do Batman, then they got to do some crazy extreme that nobody wants, you know. I want which I got. I'm happy. I wanted a Robin story, like a Robin-style movie, like Dick Grayson. Still a Batman thing, but Batman doesn't have to be in that. You know, they could have a Teen Titans thing, which I got with Titans, and I'm so happy about it. I was like a little boy on Christmas Day when they announced that. And I finally got that. Now they just need to do their other big characters instead of doing... Now, I know Harley Quinn is a great character and all. They could have used that money on another bigger, you know, focus on... They could have focused on Wonder Woman 1984 a little bit more and maybe refined that a bit better. Or maybe they could have done a another... Like, they could have put that money into something else.
I want to see a good, not decent, a good Green Lantern movie. I think
a Green Lantern, Flash. I look over at my figures because I'm forgetting characters. honestly, a Deathstroke movie would be pretty cool. There's just so many wickedly cool characters in the DC universe, and Warner Brothers is like, guys, what if we made a movie about Huntress? You know, that character that had a show back then that ran one season? You know, that character that nobody ever talks about and has been replaced four times by a different character? Yeah, let's do that. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? Why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
So the producer says Martian Manhunter and Hawkman, and absolutely, I would love to see an origin story of Hawkman and his wife. I would love to see an origin story of Martian Manhunter in
Black
the
Adam.
Snyder universe.
Sorry,
yes, Black
I'm
Adam.
Sorry to interrupt you, but that's
no,
the other
right.
one I was thinking of. I was like, God, there's Flash. There's the Batman. What's the other freaking DC movie?
Yeah.
Which is going to be in the DCEU. And it'll have The Rock. It'll have Stardom. So they'll get their fix of having A-list celebrity.
Yeah.
So Black Adam should be good.
And the producer says Black Adam is looking pretty good, though. And I agree.
There's light at the end of the tunnel for DC. I'm gonna convert everybody in that. I'm gonna convert everybody in that house to a DC fan till the day I die. I will die on that.
I mean,
I've already started it with you. You've already admitted that Ben Affleck is the best Batman, and that Titans is a good show. You're the only person that I've convinced that Titans is a great show. I haven't been able to get anybody else to watch it.
A fantastic show. I love Titans. Like, I am waist deep in this show.
You're waist deep? I'm drowning in it, okay? I watch an episode, and then I start, like, you know, I have, like, a drug addict. They start tweaking. At the end of every episode, I'm like, come on, play the next episode. Why? I gotta wait till Thursday, and then Thursday rolls around, and I forget about it, and I have to watch the show on Friday or Saturday, and then I get that fix. It's like I'm addicted to it. And throughout the week, I'm detoxing or whatever they call it when you get off the drugs. And then I'm off it, I'm clean, and I start using it again.
So the producer said he's trying to finish the last few episodes of six different shows and three D&D streams. Good luck getting me to sit down and watch it. The thing is once you
you're
sit down and watch it, you're hooked. You're hooked. Like,
can't stop watching. It's like heroin. I hate to compare it to drugs, because drugs is a big topic in the show, but it's like freaking heroin. You get on it, and then you're just like, I need more, and then you get more. And then when you're off it, you start, like, getting cold sweats and tweaking, and you need more of it.
The thing is, you get emotionally invested in it. Look, Miss Angel, who doesn't watch a whole lot of the same TV shows that I watch, and I can do the spoiler because it was many, many episodes ago.
Yeah,
and
I mean, if you haven't watched it since I told you to watch it like 4 weeks ago, then shame on you. You deserve to get it spoiled.
Right. So when Hank died, like, she teared up. And she's watched a smattering of episodes here and there. But when Hank died, she teared up. And I was in shock. Like, I was in literal shock. Like, I could not move. And she cheered up.
I know time, it might be running down. I had the same exact reaction, but I want to ask you a question about Titans.
Okay.
So, seasons 1 and 2.
Okay.
Compared to season 3, have you noticed the difference?
I've noticed
the quality
difference.
Of the show, the just overall, have you noticed a difference of the show?
I have. I've noticed a difference in the...
Shut the fuck up about the blue tint, Austin. I swear to God. Nothing about the blue tint. The blue tint is a problem. It's fine. Hardly even notice it.
So I've noticed a big... So the quality of writing, the script, is a lot better than it was in season 1. I'm not saying season 1 was bad. I'm not saying any of the shows or episodes were bad. I'm saying that the writing is better. The interaction between the characters on the show is, it's more interactive. It's overall better. Obviously, they have better special effects. Obviously, they have a bigger budget because they started out on an app on your phone and went to HBO Max, which, yeah, I mean, they've got money. But it's just overall this season has had better storytelling, better character building, character development, better story arcs. Just overall, it's a better season. This is a show that has gotten better over time. I mean, the action sequences, maybe less, because the first 2 seasons relied heavily on action, whereas this relies heavily on emotion. But it's emotion that draws you in, and when the action happens, it's like, oh, God, yes! But then you have the emotion, and you're like, oh, my God, no, stop.
So the biggest difference between seasons 1 and 2 and season 3, HBO did season 3.
Yeah.
They produced it. They filmed it. They did everything for season 3. When you go back and watch, like... I don't know, HBO, another HBO exclusive, like Game of Thrones, I guess. They're starting to have the same quality of show, like quality of writing, quality of, like, when you're watching it, you're like, oh, yes, that's HBO. It's HBO Max original.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to double check to make sure I wasn't going crazy. So I looked up this HBO Max make Titans. DC Universe app and stuff scraped, it was going to be done with Titans and Harley Quinn, but HBO picked them up.
Yeah.
You can definitely tell. When you watch Titans season 1 and season 2, and you're like, oh, this was terrible. You're crazy, because you didn't watch season 3, which is made by a totally different person. It's like you driving a, you know, a Toyota, 1990 Toyota, and you're like, yeah, this is good, it's reliable, it's nice. And then you go and hop into a new 2021 Jeep Grand Cherokee. And it's like, wow, this has a lot of luxuries. It's like, yes, it's made by a totally different person. And it's newer. It's better. It's got more money put into it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm so glad HBO picked them up. And I got very high hopes.
Yeah.
I'll text you after the show because they released stills of the next episode. Now, spoilers, but they're just stills.
I'm going to watch it tomorrow, so I don't want any spoilers. I'm going to watch it tomorrow.
No, there's no spoilers.
I'm going to watch it when I get home from work tomorrow. I don't care what time it is.
Yeah.
So. And just for the record, Jeep does have a Cherokee and a Grand Cherokee.
Yeah, producer. Yeah, smart ass.
All right, we are coming down to the last couple minutes of our show. We have about 9 minutes left. So overall, I don't think we've So when it comes to... Oh, he said... review the tapes. God, that's such an old... That's such an old saying. We don't have tapes. This is all electronic.
I don't got time for that. I got a show to watch.
All right. So when we talk about Marvel and DC, there's really no conclusion that we ever come down to.
That's an unstoppable force and an immovable object.
Pretty much. Pretty much. We both have our opinions on either one. And, but I think we had a, pretty good discussion tonight.
Yeah.
I've
definitely made some ground in the past year with my argument, so I'm very happy with that.
Yeah, yeah.
I will continue to make ground. This is like that, it's like that battle in like World War One where it was like the French and Germans. Like trench warfare, like the line didn't move for like a year or however long, I don't know. But there will be an end. And just saying, I'm the ally powers. I think we all know how that went for the Axis powers.
We could go another 3 hours on this discussion. But anyway, yeah, so, last few minutes of the show, DC made some ground, not you. DC has gotten better, Marvel had slowed down, now they're going to fight again without COVID.
Okay.
He said, don't make your dick bigger than it is.
I definitely made some ground. What are you talking about?
I have to agree with you.
The stuff I was arguing about was based off of years ago. I've been saying this for years now.
I would have to say you have made a little bit of ground because I was very much against Ben Affleck because I just don't like him as an actor.
At the same time, Marvel released Infinity War Endgame, which, you know, that was basically the atomic bomb for my argument, but...
It was.
Just like Japan, I rebuilt. I came back with Titans, a 3-season show.
But I will admit that Ben Affleck, this is a perfect role for Ben Affleck. So...
Yeah.
Okay, now we can actually go into our, you know, last minute things.
But the producer's got something else to say.
He'll continue the conversation. His opinions haven't changed.
Megan, he doesn't care about superheroes that much.
I would say he's probably not into it as much as you and I. So.
But, anyway, good show. Jolly good show.
Yep. that's a whole other topic. We're not getting onto that. All right. I want to thank Alex, as always, for being with me tonight. It was an amazing show. I want to thank the producer for his comments. They do add to the show, whether they're right or wrong, they do add to the show. Thank you for that. I want to thank all of our listeners, all of our supporters, all of our followers. We love you guys. We really do. I don't think, honestly, we probably wouldn't continue this if we didn't have any supporters. We love you guys. Stay tuned to the Facebook pages. Hopefully we'll be having some updates here soon on, you know, big things happening with Curiosity Media. We just have to get back into what we were doing. So, yeah, stay tuned to the pages. Please support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Don't judge the 99% by the 1%. There are some really good ones out there. And as always, be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity. I'm going to shut this down because this is distracting me. Be safe, be smart. Watch it back here every night that we broadcast on Wicked Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace Podcast. Every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles. And every Friday night for Note by Note. The Guiding Glasses is coming back this week. They can't even spell. Guy Glass is coming back this Friday. Don't know what movie we're doing for Movie of the Week yet, so we'll figure that out. I hope you all have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday night, a fantastic rest of your week, and we'll see you back here Sunday.
Good night.
Jesus Christ, you all kill me.